Let's turn in God's Word to Matthew's Gospel now. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And we'll be reading verses 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Before we read God's Word, let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful that You speak to us. We're thankful that You've granted us Your Word. We're thankful that You confront us with the sins that we've committed against You and against our neighbor. And You call us to repentance. And You don't leave us to fall, but You cause us to stand by showing us where we are, teaching us where we need to be, and as well You teach us the way to get there. And we know that way is through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so grant us Your Son now, by Your grace, faith in Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 19. These are God's words. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Those are God's words. Jesus, in preaching the Sermon on the Mount, He's continuing preaching that sermon here in this chapter, and continues now after the Lord's Prayer, after we've heard about fasting. And He's addressed in the first part of chapter 6, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in giving alms, hypocrisy in prayer, and hypocrisy in fasting. And all these Christian duties, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting, all of them are Christian duties that men and women and children come with their sins and become hypocrites as they look to be seen by others, so others will see them as holy or as pure or as the faithful, whatever. We could go on and on with what people want others to see them as in the church. The Lord Jesus answer to them is that they have their reward. They're seen by other people as praying or fasting, or they're pure holy. That's their reward. They have people that might praise them because of it, or adore them, or honor them. That's their reward, the Lord says. And it is not an eternal reward. It is, if anything, a reward that ends, though, in eternal damnation. But now King Jesus transitions to a new topic from this point to the end of the chapter, which is addressing anxiety, as we might call it today, or worrying, fearfulness, or fretfulness. Now, Jesus is going to show us through the rest of the chapter that hypocrisy and anxiety, or worrying, all those things that we talked about just now, are both pretty similar in nature. They're pretty similar in nature, and that's why He brings it here right after He's spoken about hypocrisy. People become hypocrites for the same reason people become anxious and fearful and fret. And why is that? Because in both cases, of the hypocrite and of the anxious person, they focus on self rather than on God. They focus on self rather than on God. The hypocrite focuses on themselves, don't they? They want to be seen by others. It's all about them. In the case of the anxious person, the worrying person, the fretful person, their worries, their concern is on their needs. And in both cases, for the hypocrite and the anxious person, neither has really grasped the fact of the grace of God. Jesus provided the solution for the hypocrite three times with the almsgiving, the prayer, and the fasting. Recognizing our Father that He knows, He sees, He understands everything about you. He cares for us. He receives us based upon our union with Jesus Christ. And He sanctifies and cleanses us of our sins by His grace. And so as we're going to see from verse 19 to the end of the chapter, the solution is the same for anxiety. To look to the Father. To look to Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to encourage us to have confidence and to grow in confidence in our God and our Father and declare His perfect provision for all of our needs. And so as we consider anxiety, worrying, fearfulness, we're going to see that anxious people, or when we become anxious or worry, what is happening is that we are, and that is us, and all of us experience anxiety or fearfulness at times, some more than others. What is happening is that we're not thinking, if we can put it in those terms, we're not thinking from our hearts, the heart of the Christian. We're not thinking theologically. We are thinking and feeling and desiring untheologically, if we can use that word, about life. We're thinking without God about life. We're thinking, we're feeling, we're desiring without God in our life. Like Psalm 10, God is not in all His thoughts. God is not in all His thoughts. And King Jesus is here then calling all of us to have God in all of our thoughts, because it's only when our focus is restored upon the Lord that you will finally experience the victory over those sins of anxiety and fear. In our passage this morning, Jesus is showing us why people become anxious. Why do people worry? Why do people fear? Why do they fret? Why do they even panic? And we're going to hear one reason why this morning. There's a couple more next Lord's Day, Lord willing, that we'll hear. One this morning, the first reason why you struggle with anxiety and fear. And all of us do at times. The first reason why you struggle with anxiety and fear is because your treasure is in the wrong place. Your treasure is in the wrong place. And now, friends, we know Jesus knows our hearts. John 2, but Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. If He knew all men, and if He knows all men, then He certainly knows His people. He knows us. He knows us all the more. Hebrews 4, He is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Jesus the King comes in this passage in the Sermon on the Mount. He reveals your heart. Anxious, worrying, fearfulness, fretfulness. That these things, these sins, are a moral problem. It's a moral issue, He tells us. It's a sin problem. He says, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Treasures. And so we have to ask the question, what are your treasures? Each one of us has different treasures. Maybe as a family or as a married couple, you have similar treasures. But we need to ask the question, what are your treasures? What is your treasure? Is Jesus talking about kids? Is Jesus talking about treasure like a treasure chest wherein there are pirates and they find the treasure chest? No, that's not what Jesus is talking about at all. Of course not. He's talking about what you, children, what you prize most dearly. What you take as most highly valuable to you. What is of the utmost value? Whatever it is, and it could be many things, whatever it is, that's what Jesus is referring to when He uses this word here, treasure. And He says, your treasure is wrong. Your treasure is sinful. If it is upon the earth. If your treasure is found here on the earth, then your treasure is the wrong treasure. It's a bad treasure. It's an evil treasure. And it leads to destruction of your soul. And so He goes on to teach, verse 20. There are two places that treasure is found. In heaven, verse 20. and, if you go back to verse 19, on earth. There are two places your treasure can be found, on earth or in heaven. Every earthly treasure is liable to fail, to be destroyed, to wither away. We see here to be stolen, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break through and steal. You see, this is quite simple. Friends, look around. You know, as you think about life, everything around us, everything of this world dies. Everything. Everything in this world falls apart. It withers. Everything. Jesus is saying, look around and take a deep breath of reality. If you are laying up your treasures upon the earth, what will come of it all? Destruction. Death. It will fall apart and wither. And so he's really questioning, will your covetousness and cares of this world amount to anything but being that enemy that Satan uses against you and against all true godliness? He's using everything of this world to tempt you to take it and treasure it, and to take your soul away from where your treasure ought to be in heaven. And so this is, again, a moral issue. Worldly-mindedness, friends, is common and yet a fatal symptom of hypocrisy, and so too anxiety and fear. The coveting of things and riches and everything of the world. The hypocrites choose the world as their reward. The world of men's thoughts and praise. The anxious person, the fearful person, chooses the world to comfort them and assure them. And treasures then the things of the world. Wants to have the things of the world in covetousness. Seeks after the things of the world and won't stop until they have it. That's a constant desire for more and more and more, and it never ceases. And some of you have those desires and impulses that are there, maybe in a major way, maybe in a minimal way. It comes and goes at times. But what is your treasure, friends? The things of the world suffer from the ravages of time and sin. And this is why moth and rust corrupt it and destroy it. This is why thieves break through and steal. So when you die, when you die, and everybody will die, when you die, which is the ultimate expression of what Jesus says? Your earthly body, ravaged by sin and the fall and time, and it will decay in the grave. Right, if you had anything of which you were anxious about, most people are, at the end of the day, anxious about their body. And the preserving of their body. The treasures that we put on earth, all surrounding us, to protect what? Our body. And yet, it will be ripped from you in a moment, taken, and it will be destroyed. Become dust again in the grave. So that you cannot take one sliver of anything of this world with you. When you die, wherever you're going, whatever happens to you at that moment, you cannot take with you one sliver of anything in this world. And is that the treasure you're putting up for yourselves? The thing that you can't take with you. The thing that does not last. The thing that withers and dies. So where is your treasure? If it's upon the earth, well, then you will certainly fear at that moment of your last breath on the earth. And then we might ask, well, are the things on the earth evil then? There are many things on the earth that are evil, sinful, but there are also many good things. God made the world and all in it good. It is now affected by the fall. But there's still, in fact, many good things in this world. Is property a good thing? It is a good thing. The Lord teaches us that in the Scriptures. Is family a good thing? Families are a great thing. And they're a blessing from the Lord, we learn. Even children, blessing from the Lord. There are many good things. And yet what King Jesus is saying here, we must not, at the end of the day, treasure those things. That cannot be the ultimate treasure of our hearts. We must not count these things as the best things or the most prized things or the most valuable things to us. In Genesis 31, Laban's sons called the things of their father that were taken from him by Jacob. They called those things the things that brought glory to their father. They were taken away. They knew there was no more glory anymore because it was taken away. If our treasure is on earth, there's no glory. There's the things of the earth, friends, we must turn from all coveting. That's what the 10th commandment is all about. The coveting and abundance of these things. Where we feel like we must grasp for more and more. Because especially as Americans, we gather things in. We have what we think it will sustain us. And then, we need to have more, don't we? And that leads to some more. And now we're like, we don't have enough yet. And we go out for more. And that's coveting, continuing to covet. And so, always adding to these things, never knowing when you have enough. And yet, what do? We often attain certain things. We even have enough in the bank account and our savings, perhaps, and we think of all that money perhaps we might have in our savings, and we never know if it's going to be enough. And so we keep trying to add more. We confide in these things to be our security. If I just had this or that, I would rest secure. Then when you have it, you're not secure. You think you need to have more. You would think that would make you feel secure, but it doesn't. If you are saying that to anything, if you're saying that about anything on this earth, then your treasure is on earth. Because you're saying about this or that thing, you're my hope. You're what I long for. You're what I most need. You're my hope, my perfect house. Right? Or you're my hope. You're my treasures. You're my riches, my job. I finally have a job I finally want. Always want it. But we're not to confide above all of these things on earth. We cannot even rest content in these things. We cannot put our hope in or covet these things, for what happens when trusting and putting all of our focus on these things in the world, Luke 6. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. You'll get what you always wanted. You see, the lesson is the same for the hypocrites as is here. If all you're doing is taking from the world and treasuring the world, the Lord says, you have your reward. You have it. It's going to be taken from you. But you have it. That's what you wanted. You knew it was going to be taken from you. You knew it was going to wither away and fall apart and die. You have it. And that's why he's calling us to something greater. What will you do if you come to famine and have no food? What will you do when all that you've stored up on earth is removed from you? You'll have nothing. And then you will be fearful. And you will go to great lengths and great sin to have what you want again on earth. But this is why Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Luke 16, he says, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. If you're laying up for yourselves treasures on earth, do you want to be tormented? That's what Jesus is saying. Our Lord brings to us who so often store our treasures on earth, such a devastatingly simple diagnosis. It's very simple. It's obvious. If we would only think seriously about all our possessions in light of time, we would realize that they belong to this passing world and there is no security in any of it. There's no security in any of it. You know, if you have a safe in your house, all your doors, windows are locked. You might even have, in some places they have bars on windows. You might even have bars on your windows. A doorstop. Very heavy weight behind the door. You'd think, can't open it. The only difference in when the thief gets in is time. Time. If a thief really wants to get into your house, no matter what you do, he'll get in. And he'll steal whatever you have. The more you feel you need certain things on earth in order to feel secure, in order to be secure, the more you need to guard them. To maintain your security, really the less security you have. The less secure you actually are. In the parable of the sower, Mark 4, the seed, when it was sowed among the thorns, grows up along the thorns. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And so Jesus is warning here in the passage today of your anxiety, of your worrying, of your laying up treasures on earth. You're setting yourselves up to become unfruitful. And those we've learned in the evening in John 15, those who are unfruitful, friends, are cut off, they wither, and they die, and are thrown into the fire. And Jesus rebukes that thought. He says in verse 19, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where things are lasting forever, where there is no corruption, where there is no destruction, and there is no thievery. When we are so concerned in fear, anxiety, fretfulness, King Jesus comes and says, stop concerning yourselves primarily with supplying yourselves with what you think you need. You are focused from your heart and your thoughts on yourself instead of on the Lord. What must be the best things to you? The place of your happiness must be in the world to come, in heaven, not in this world. Must be otherworldly. Jesus shows here that there are treasures in heaven. There are lasting treasures that exist, that are in heaven. The only true treasures one can have and have forever are alone found there, in heaven. And if you want riches and glories and pleasures forevermore, those are found alone in heaven. But we take those things that seem like they would be good treasures on this earth and we make them our treasures, and so we use up our energy in pursuit of those things on the earth. But Jesus is saying, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We're not in heaven now. We are not in heaven now. We are not. But we are on earth. And so how do we here and now lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven if we are not there? Well, you do so in your life. With all diligence to make sure that you have as your King of the great kingdom, Jesus Christ. First step, make as your King Jesus Christ. So you have Him as your surety unto all eternal life in heaven. If you'd be here in the evenings, you'd know, as we're learning about the covenant of grace, that all the benefits and blessings of the covenant of grace are granted through our surety, Jesus Christ. Only in Him. All the benefits, all the treasures are found in Him. That the Lord in Christ, He must be your treasure above all things. To be valued above everyone else and everything else. Why? Because heavenly things are only the only things worthy to be our treasure. That's what Jesus is saying. Only those things in heaven, only those heavenly treasures are worth your energy, are worth your time, are worth making your treasure. Because everything else will not remain. Everything else will be destroyed. And the heavenly treasures are forever. And so you are to covet. If you're to covet anything, you are to covet heavenly things. You are to covet heavenly things, not earthly, which is sin. Covet your heavenly, those heavenly treasures. Covet faith. Covet love. Covet grace. Covet Jesus Christ. What is true happiness based upon? So many people try to find their happiness in the world, the wealth of the world, the riches of the world, that we've learned already that it's all corrupt, it'll be all taken away, it'll all fall apart. And today we need to be fully convinced that happiness is found in lasting riches, lasting treasures. All that is lasting is found in heaven. All that is eternal will be found there of all treasure, and it's found in Christ Jesus. And so we're to depend upon eternal life in Christ Jesus for our happiness. There is such a happiness in Christ alone. If we would just believe, everyone, each one of us believes the things of the world that we often pursue after for our happiness and treasure, we actually know that all those things are fleeting. All those thoughts, all those pursuits are fleeting, and we know it. And yet, as Christians, we keep seeking after them with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength. And King Jesus comes and He says, put your highest priority upon Me. Right now, we could ask the question, are you going to heaven? Are you going to see eternal life? Because if you don't make it to heaven, if you don't have eternal life, you will not have treasures forever. You will not have treasures that are in heaven if you are not found there. After your last breath. The greatest treasure, thankfully, is also the way to heaven. Right? We need to be in heaven to receive the treasures in heaven. That's logical, right? But if we don't make it to heaven, we'll not have those treasures. And the only way to have those treasures is also the greatest treasure. The way is through Jesus Christ. The Lord and Savior, salvation in Him, faith in Him, repentance unto life in Him by His grace. What might that look like when once you turn to Christ from your sins? It looks like having that burden of worldly treasures removed, the weight removed, and a trusting in the Lord to grant us every heavenly blessing in Him. Every heavenly blessing in Christ Jesus, that all of our service and struggle on this earth, which should be all for the glory of God, focused on Him, because that's where our treasure is. All in our service and all of our struggle on earth, the Lord Jesus will then, as we learned as well in the evenings, looking at the covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus will carry us home and reward us forever with all the benefits and blessings of the covenant of grace in heaven. In union with Him. And so you see, if you would but lay up your treasures in heaven, then it would be the most secure and the most safe. It will never decay. It will never rust or be corrupted. No one can come in by force and steal it. Because He says that He surrounds heaven, He protects it, and none who are not out of His people and His creatures that He loves with a greater love can enter in. This is a happiness above. There is a happiness above and beyond the changes and turbulence of time. That's what we learn in 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. All those treasures that He has granted to you, and that inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled, they are kept by God's power in heaven for you who truly come unto Him by faith and turning from your sins unto Christ. And the next verse in 1 Peter 1 says what? In this life, not that you're anxious, worry, fret, fear. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Even if this life there is suffering, persecution, trials of life, whatever comes, you rejoice, not worry. You rejoice, not fear. Because your focus is where? It's no longer on yourselves, it's no longer on the world, on the earth. It is on Christ. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, now on the earth, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, which being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, right, the thing of the earth perisheth, though it be tried with fire, your faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. He gives us an incorruptible inheritance, and we rejoice greatly. Even when we're going through trials and afflictions and sufferings. Why? Because He keeps us by His power. That inheritance is kept by His power. And He refines us in the fire and brings us home. Now you see in verse 21 that Jesus is clear of the good reason to lay up treasures in for yourselves treasures in heaven. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Whether your treasure is upon the earth or in heaven, there your heart will be. If it is upon the earth, then that's where your heart is. If it is upon heaven, that's where your heart is. I can tell you from personal experience, there are many of us here who could tell you the same, who are children of God, but the Word is sufficient. When your thoughts and your focus, when your heart is on this world, there is a whole lot of fear and anxiety and worrying and fretting and panicking. Anytime you come as a Christian to a crisis and not look to the Lord first, that's what happens, right? And sometimes even that fretting and that panicking leads to anger and we get upset at others. It goes on, right? But when your heart is focused primarily in heaven, on the things of God, on Christ's kingdom, there's joy, and there's comfort, there is calmness, and clarity of thoughts and decisions, even in the midst of the greatest calamities, and trials, and afflictions. There may be great sorrow and grief in the midst of those afflictions, but there's still great joy at the same time. Something that we can't really, the world cannot comprehend at all. One theologian said, the heart follows the treasure as the sunflower the sun. So where the treasure is, there's what you put your value on and you honor. There is your love and affection. Colossians 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your emotions, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He'll bring you home to that treasure. When your treasure is granted to you forever, where your treasure is, all is done in view of that treasure. All is done in view of that treasure. If that's your treasure, whatever it might be, that's where you do everything in view of that. Where your treasure is, there's your cares, there's your hopes, there's your faith, your joys, your delights. The Lord comes unto you today, he says, as he says in Proverbs, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." Instead of your own ways and keep focusing on yourself, he says, "Let thine eyes observe my ways." So that, friends, if your treasure is laid up upon the Lord in Christ, then your souls will be lifted up unto him. So where is your treasure found? Is it upon the earth? Or is it in heaven? The treasures of earth will all come to nothing. It's the source of all worry and concern and fear, panic. For those souls not looking above to lay their treasures in heaven, where all treasures are lasting. And so then today, lay up your treasures in heaven. You'll have those lasting treasures. How do I lay up treasures in heaven? By turning to Jesus Christ by faith. And continuing day by day, moment by moment, turning to Christ, focusing your life, your thoughts, your heart on every good and perfect thing, because it comes from God. And following the path, the ways of the Lord found in His Word, His commandments, keeping His commandments, and desiring all those good things that He teaches us in His Word that will come as He promises. And so that in the midst of suffering, persecution, trials of life, afflictions, you remain rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Not in your own glory, though that will come in union with Christ, but you're focused on the glory of God. But if you don't make it to heaven by your failing to turn to Jesus Christ in faith and remaining in your sins, then you'll not have any treasures in heaven. You'll have your reward, the Lord says. The treasures that you put up on earth. And the way to heaven, because nobody wants the treasures that lead to eternal death. The way to heaven is alone found, we know, in Christ Jesus, in King Jesus. He's shown us many times through Him alone. Put off yourselves, put off your desires, put off your sins, your treasures of this world, and make Jesus your treasure by turning to Him by faith, by His grace alone. Put your heart on Jesus. Put your treasure in Him, because He's all you need. Because when we get to heaven, the greatest treasure we will have is communion with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Be satisfied in Christ alone. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we have time and again worried and been fearful of this world and things that could happen to us, panicking. Times of affliction have come, or hardship, trials, things of our homes, our money, our jobs, even our kids. Father, we have gone through trials of great sin and looking to ourselves. And all this, Father, because struggling in fear and anxiety, because we continue to look to ourselves, to think that if we just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, if we just really focus, we could figure the problem out. Instead of going to the one who knows all things, who knows our hearts, our minds, and even the thoughts and intents of our hearts. But coming to you, who is the Savior and who is the King and Sovereign over all the universe and creation, we think that we are God ourselves, sovereign, and we can solve all the problems. And Father, we pray that we would rather turn ourselves and our hearts, our lives, that we would, in a sense, hand ourselves over to you, to pour ourselves out before your throne and upon your grace and your mercy to care for us. And pray that you would make for each one here, from the youngest to the oldest, the treasure of our hearts and our minds, our wills, our affections, that the treasure would be Jesus Christ, your Son. That the treasure would be the blessing of having your word and the scriptures and the privilege of worshiping you. The treasure that we will have forever to worship you day and night, when our souls are perfected. Father, we look forward to that day when you will perfect us in holiness and bring us right in amongst the general assembly, the angels, the saints have been made perfect, that we would commune with Jesus Christ forever and ever. That is where our treasure is and must be. And so make it so by your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.